This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:06, Tuesday, the 12th of July. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Nikkei Asia columnist William Pasek on the assassination of ex-Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and the legacy he leaves behind. But let's recap how global markets closed yesterday. So it was a rather red day on Wall Street. The Dow was down 0.5%. S&P 500 was down 1.2%. And Nasdaq down a whopping 2.3%. Meanwhile, in Asia, it was rather mixed. Nikkei was up 1.1%. Hang Seng was down 2.7%. Shanghai Composite was down 1.3%. And even though Singapore and the Bursa Kuala Lumpur Stock Exchange was closed on Friday, the Singapore Straits Times was up marginally, while the FBM KLCI was up 0.5%. So for more on where global markets are heading, we speak to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Good morning, Joe. Always good to speak to you. Let's talk about results season because it's happening very, very soon. So I'm curious, what sectors do you think will weather this current headwinds better than others?
Well, a couple come to mind. Number one, like financials, the financial sector, the banks will do well because of the steeper yield curve. So that's part and parcel of the environment. But I also think energy, you know, oil and service companies, the energy complex, agriculture, a lot of companies within these sectors have been able to pass on costs. It's going to be harder for some other companies, whether it's construction, food and beverages. They've kind of hit a wall here in terms of higher prices, but the volume, sales volumes are declining. So it's going to be a very interesting mixed bag type of earnings outlook for sure.
Do you think the street has cut earnings enough, Joe, and that's already reflected in the price of the shares? Or do you think that after results season, we might actually see more earnings cuts?
You know, the short answer is no. Analysts have been behind cutting their estimates. But, you know, guess what? The markets did it for them. So you've got a lot of stocks, a lot of sectors looking at, you know, 25, 30, 40% down already. So the analysts are behind, so to speak. That's the good news because there, hopefully there isn't much more downside from where we are. But, you know, bear markets are typically down, say, 35%. The S&P has only been down around 24 at its trough. So there's more downside, excuse me, and there's going to be a lot of focus company by company in terms of managing the outlook, the earnings outlook.
Okay, and the five-year break-even rate, and that's the difference between yields on the five-year U.S. Treasury and the inflation-protected note, has been slipping to levels last seen in September last year. Do you think this reflects expectations that U.S. inflation is going to fall anytime soon?
Well, it's hopefully the expectation that we've hit peak inflation. We've seen copper prices roll over, home prices have rolled over, a lot of variable, even hourly average earnings have kind of peaked and rolled over. So I think it's the expectation that we're nearing the peak and then plateauing of inflation here in the United States. That's a tough call, though, because there's a lot more to work through. So we're still beholden to rents and oil prices and gas. So we're not out of the woods yet. But yes, it's suggesting that the worst is behind us. That's a dicey bet.
Okay, but then does this mean that the Fed will still march on in terms of their monetary normalization program and we can expect another 75 bips at the next FOMC meeting, though?
Yes, we're looking for 75 basis points in July. They skipped the meeting in August. Another 50 basis points perhaps in September. Then maybe we get a pause in the Fed. I'm still optimistic or encouraged that we'll get a fourth quarter rally because I do think the Fed moving aggressively now, having inflation roll over, we could be set up for a nice year-end rally. But maybe I'm just being too optimistic, but not impossible given where we are today.
We all hope so. But I'm curious whether the economy can actually cope with these higher interest rates. And this is a Fed Bank of Atlanta. President Rafael Bostic says that the U.S. economy can do so. Do you agree?
Well, it depends on what's it mean by, you know, withstanding or weathering. I mean, I do think growth is slowing, no doubt. Mm. We can avoid a recession, but if we're growing at, say, you know, 1% or 0.5%, inflation is still above the Fed's target. That's what you call stagflation. And that's a very difficult earnings backdrop. So, you know, corporations are really being tested on managing their way through these higher costs. And we're not out of the woods just yet. So we could avoid a recession, but have an earnings recession, right? We could kind of be quarter to quarter to downdraft. But I really do think a lot of this bad news is priced into equities. Policymakers are pivoting. And that we're going to still see, I think, set up for a good year-end rally.
Okay, what about exporters, Joe? We hardly talk about U.S. exporters because when I look at the Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index, it's up 10%. So it's going to be good for them, right? I mean, are there other sectors that aren't going to do so well as a result of U.S. dollar strength, though?
Well, we're looking very carefully. You know, remember Microsoft came out and warned about earnings being impacted by the stronger dollar. The most dollar exposed sectors of the S&P are pharmaceuticals and technology. Now, you can hedge that. Most companies have very sophisticated hedging techniques, currencies. The exporters are going to take it on the chin a little bit here. And demand is weak. Remember, Europe, you know, we're at parity with the euro dollar, but also the price is working against U.S. companies, exporters, but also demand in Europe has collapsed. So the price has really turned against U.S. companies. So has demand. So don't be surprised if you see a lot of multinationals pointing to weakness in Europe and the dollar effect kind of squeezing their earnings. But here again, it's very hard. What's already priced into the market is what investors have to keep in mind. And a lot of bad news has been priced in.
And I want to focus on consumer discretionary as a study of whether inflation is really starting to hurt the consumer's wallet, because we did see Target and also Gap announcing intentions to cut inventory orders. Are we starting to see a pullback in terms of consumer spending then?
It is. We're definitely not only a pullback, but going down in brands. So if you've got a brand, right, and you've done well with certain cohorts, now they're going down to like generic. So whether it's food, whether it's T-shirts, whether it's clothing, there's been really a step down, so to speak, in terms of kind of the income point, price point. And I think that's going to continue. And that's just rational behavior in that sense. People are going to drive less. They're going to fly less. When they go out and spend, they have less money in real terms. So they're trying to buy more with, quote unquote, lower end or lower quality products that they might not otherwise have bought. And you know, the OECD Consumer Sentiment Index, it's at a record low. We've never that's a global indicator. The consumer globally is just not happy. We're pretty cranky consumers globally.
Okay, and another observation of mine is that Chinese stocks, which are listed on the U.S. exchanges, actually had the worst drop in their share price since May. Do you think investors are being too hasty in dumping these equities, or are they just generally nervous due to the excessive regulatory oversight?
I think it's more of the latter, and also some concerns about China, the lockdown, zero COVID policy. China's economy has slowed down dramatically. So any growth stocks names, whether they're listed in U.S., Hong Kong, or Shenzhen, or you know Shanghai, they're going to feel the effects. So, but I do expect some of these stocks that have been beating up the Chinese stocks here in Q2, I think they're going to kind of lead the way and rebound in the second half of this year if China, as we expect, starts to reflate and reopen. So that's going to be hugely important. So they're, you know, China's economy is not unlike ours, the U.S., in a sense. It has slowed down, but the expectation is that they grow, gain momentum going into Q3, Q4, into next year.
And then let's wrap up by talking about Japan. The yen hit a fresh low of 137 to the U.S. dollar this morning. Do you think this level is starting to make the Bank of Japan a little bit nervous?
I think it is in terms of what it means for inflation, imported inflation. The good news, so to speak, a lot of Japanese debt is owned. It's in local currency, so there's no problems there in terms of any kind of synchronic risks that are related to that. But it is, you know, a weaker currency is a sign of an economy struggling, getting finance footing. And, you know, not that the United States is going to come out and call Japan out with the currency manipulation, but it could become a tension point between the U.S. and Japan if we see further deterioration. And it's a sign of an economy that's, you know, relatively unhealthy.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving us his views on where global markets are heading. But up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. Kojit Singh of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia on the ongoing medicine shortages that we see in this country. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.